Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. I was with Christine last weekend, and I was at the Women's Conference, and I got to share. And I thought I'd share this, what I shared last week up at the conference. So if you would, turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. It is, we are such a blessed people to have this word. We really are. And in Psalm 1, we'll start in verse 1, kind of in the middle of your Bible. Again, Psalm. Keep going. Yeah. Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord Yahweh. And in his law, he meditates day and night. For he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." And you look at that. How blessed is the man that doesn't go in the evil way or go with people that do not delight in God's word. And here in verse 2, it says his delight is in the law of Yahweh, right? In the law of the word. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You know, to meditate in something day and night, we take that word meditate. It's not just a mindless thing where we think of people meditating or if they're doing an exercise and they just clear their mind and they just sit. That's in direct opposition to what this means. This word meditate means to actively consider, to actively think about something. So this person, right, God says, how blessed is that man that he meditates on his word day and night. He actively considers and he keeps it in the forefront of his mind. We're not to be mindless when it comes to thinking about the word, right? We have to keep it and actively consider what it says. And how are we going to know our God? You know, how do we get to know God? It's by his word. And so many people I've met, well, all of us through our lives, people may know that there's a God, but they know nothing else. They literally know nothing else about him. They know that there's a God because they're not, they look around, they go, this just couldn't have happened by itself, right? So they acknowledge that there may be a God, but they actually have no knowledge of his heart for them. And I looked at it, and this is what God thinks of his word that he's given us. If you go to Psalm 138, I mean, this is such a profound statement, in my opinion. It speaks volumes. Psalm 138 and in verse 1, it says, "I will give you thanks." This is a psalm of David. "I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name." Isn't it? This is what God thinks of his word. Of what David said, that God magnified his word above his name, above, he's the creator of all things. He is El Shaddai, right? He is the God of hosts of the great, all the armies of the world. He is Yahweh, our Father, and he considers his word and above his name. His word is that precious. And even in manifestations that we heard, the word is our guide. If we want to get to know God's heart for us, we have to understand, we have to read and actively consider what it says. We may, people, they get their knowledge of God on a TV, or they look at a movie and they think that's real. And that they get tricked. They don't understand God. And that's why his word, when you think, just think about this. How many thousands of years has this word been preserved? Thousands through so many things, right? God made sure his word was preserved so that we would, he wants us to know him. He wants us to know his heart for him. Books come and go, but this word, this has been stood the test of time to where we have it today, which is really remarkable. And we have to, he encourages and strongly encourages his people to read the word. Go to Proverbs chapter 2, write the very next book over, Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs is a great book because it really teaches a young man of how to live life, or a young woman, how to live life, how to navigate the world that we live in through God. And he encourages them to the point where he teaches a person how to live life from the very beginning and then towards the end of what to look for a young man, to what to look for the qualities if you want a good wife. And it also teaches that woman how to be a good wife. Look at the qualities of that virtuous woman. And this is so, he hits upon this so much in Proverbs chapter 2 and in verse 1. It says, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. If you want to know God, if you yearn for it, if you seek it as you would gold or silver, something so precious, if you seek for it, you're going to find it, and you're going to find the knowledge of God. He's going to teach us. He urges us to keep looking for this. It's got to be that precious to you. You know, John said in the prayer that he said before, there are people in other countries that can't even have a Bible in their house. It's outlawed to this day. And yet we have the freedoms that we have, that most people have a Bible, and yet they take it for granted and not reading it. It's so available to us. They've just kind of pushed it aside. This, you got to want it as silver. And you got to know his height. Then you will find that knowledge of God that you so want to understand. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. It's easy to forget, isn't it? But don't let that happen. And the reason why is for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness or mercy and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them upon the tablet of your heart. And so you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It's this word that gives us the ability to be kind, to know how to be kind and know how to show mercy to people for all that, the kindness that God has shown us. And verse 5, trust in the Lord Yahweh with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. We have to want and trust and go to God, and he will direct our every step. We will find favor with God, and everybody should want that, right? Find favor with God and man. We'll be able to live. We'll be able to share this word. We cannot trust in what we think about God. We have to trust in what his word says. And the only way to do that is to read his word. Read it. Put it on. God will teach you. In chapter 4, Proverbs, and in verse 20, it says, my son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight and keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart diligently, for from it flows the issues of life. Watch over your heart. Watch what you're putting in your heart. He's telling us, put these words, incline your ear to my sayings, and don't let them leave. Don't let them depart. Remember, we have to actively consider what's in the forefront of our mind. Actively consider what God is saying to us through his word. And we're to keep that. And we're to keep them within our heart. Don't let it just fly away. Don't let it just go away. Don't let it depart from you. And it's life to those that find it. This is life, life and death. We get life when we know the word. And we don't. We don't get life when we don't. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. I love the book of Proverbs, as you can see. Chapter 16. And in verse 9. The mind of man plans his way, but Yahweh directs his steps. How does he do that? We plan, we think of what we're going to do, right? But when we put on this word, he's with us. He's going to direct us in the ways we should go. He'll help us with whatever we do. He directs us through his word. And in verse 20, it says, he who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Isn't that kind of neat? He who gives attention to the word, his word, it's sort of talking about, the concept is talking about the word of God, his words. We will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in Yahweh. We will not be able to trust in Yahweh, our Father, if we don't know his word. It's very hard to trust in something when you know nothing about it, right? I mean, a child, as they grow up, they learn to love and trust their parents more and more and more because they've developed a relationship with them. Well, the same thing with God, our Father. As we learn his word, as we develop that relationship with him, as we learn his heart for us, as we should want to, then we will find that knowledge of God. We will be blessed. It will be life to us. Go to Isaiah chapter 46. A little past Psalms, Proverbs. Isaiah 46. I love this section here. And 46, we'll start in verse 3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, you who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. Isn't that phenomenal? All the way through our lives, from birth all the way to our graying years. And now I'm in that area, the graying years, right? All the way. I fight it with a hair dye, but my gray, all the way through life. God is with us. God is always there. He's taking care of us. He's not left us. So many people don't realize that. They think they're in this alone. They think this is alone. It's not. Our God is with us from birth all the way through our graying years. Isn't that kind of neat? If you keep reading, I love this. To whom then would you liken me, God, and make me equal and to compare me? Verse 6. Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh silver on a scale hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. And they bow down, and indeed they worship it. They lift it upon the shoulder and carry it. Then they set it in its place, and it stands there. It does not move from its place, though one may cry to it. It cannot answer, and it cannot deliver him from his distress. Remember this, and be assured. Recall it to mind, you sinners. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Isn't that phenomenal? God knows the end and the beginning to the end. He will accomplish all that he wants done. And he wants you to know that you could try to make an idol or a little God and you can cry to it, but it cannot answer you. It cannot help you in your time of distress. It will not be with you from your birth all the way through your graying years. There is one God, and here is no one like him that can deliver us, that can help us. Isn't that kind of neat? And Jesus Christ, this is what Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, this is what he thought of his word. If you go to John chapter 17, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. And in verse 17, it says, sanctify them in the truth of God's word. Your word is truth. He's praying to God. And he's saying, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is true. That's what Jesus thought of this word that he spoke forth, that he declared that he came to share to the whole world, is his word, God's word. And that word is true. And he knew it. He knew it. And he knew this word. He put it on in his life. He was so, I mean, you know, when you think about it, John shared this a few weeks ago. It really struck me when Jesus was a young boy, right? And he was 12 and his parents had to go back to Jerusalem. They paid taxes. And it says for 3 days when they were on their way home, they were in a big caravan. And for 3 days, they couldn't find him. It's like Mary and Joseph, like, where's Jesus? Okay, where is he? And he was missing, right? He wasn't in the caravan going home. And he's missing. And I can imagine. I can't imagine, you know, lose my kid for 3 days, right? So they go back, and where do they find him? In the temple, and he's with the high priest and the scholars there, and they were amazed at his words, the answers that he gave them. They were talking the scriptures, and they were amazed. And Joseph, Mary says, what have you done? What did you do this to us? And he says, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? He was teaching the word. And he was 12 years old. But he knew it. It wasn't like, boom, he got it in his head. He studied the scriptures his whole life. They must have had parchment. They had scrolls, whether they had in the area there, within the local synagogue, wherever they had it. He knew the word of God. He knew it enough to where he didn't have as conveniently as we have it with chapters and books, the way we have it. He had it in scrolls, continuous writing, and it was all like one running hand. And he studied it. He knew it. Remember when he came, he turned right to the place where he knew what he wanted to say. He didn't have to. He put it on. He sought it as silver. He gave attention to the word. And he gave attention to God's heart for him. And so much so, at the age of 12, people were amazed at the word that he knew, the truth that he knew. And when he was tempted of the devil, what did he say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. When he was tempted, he went right back to the truth of the word. It's because he had it on in his head. And that's, he put it on the tablet of his heart. And that's the urging that God wants us to do. Put it in our heads and our hearts so that when things come our way, we're going to know God's heart for us. In 1 John. All the way towards the end. 1 John. First John chapter 5. First John 5 and in verse 2. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, his word. That's how we love God, when we keep his word. And his commandments are not grievous. It's not burdensome. His word, this word, is not hard to do. It's not hard to follow. And we know that we love God when we follow his word. And it's not a hard thing to do. We don't have to jump through hoops.
We don't have to do an amazing feat. We have to just put this word on in our hearts. We've got to want it like the most precious thing, and take the time to put it on in your mind. Isn't that neat? And he tells us, which I love, it's not a hard thing to do. So get over it, right? It's not hard. That's what we, you know, you tell our kid, you tell your kids, well, just do what I say. It's not hard to do, to obey. Just do what I say. Well, that's what God says. We know we love him when we're doing his word, but we have to want to read it. We have to put it on. And go to Psalm 121. It's one of my favorite Psalms. I read this constantly. Psalm 121. Kind of right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 121, verse 1, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from Yahweh, the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel, he will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord Yahweh is your keeper. The Lord Yahweh is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord Yahweh will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Isn't that amazing? We're never alone. We've heard that in manifestations, and he tells us through his word, we're never alone. He's always with us. He will guard our going out and our coming in, just as he's guarded us from our birth all the way through our graying years. He is always there with us. He'll keep us from evil. That's his heart for us. That's his heart. He will be with us always. He's never going to abandon us. He's not going to be sleeping on us. When we call it him, he'll hear us. He loves us. Go to Isaiah chapter 48. This is really interesting. Isaiah 48. Prophet Isaiah is kind of speaking for God to the children of Israel. And this is really amazing. Isaiah 48, verse 17. It says, thus says the Lord Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am Yahweh, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from my presence. Imagine being in that group. If only you had paid attention to the commandments. They're just for you for profit. Then you would be living. Don't be like those people. Don't be the ones that don't pay attention. You don't want to be that guy, right? You don't want to be him. And the way God says it, if only you would have paid attention to my commandments. They are profit to you. It gives you life. If only you paid attention. And in contrast to that, go to Jeremiah, the next book over, Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15 and in verse 16, you know, they had lost the word of God for a while. They didn't have it. And brother Jeremiah, the prophet, they found the word. And in verse 16, it says, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord Yahweh, God of hosts. The word was lost and they found it and they ate it. It was joy and a delight to them.
And in verse, oh Lord, for they've been called. Imagine that we are called by his name, oh Lord Yahweh. We've been called by his name. The words were found and I ate them. Is that how the joy that we have when we read the word, right? Is it joy to our hearts, a delight to our soul? Isn't that phenomenal? And, you know, go to the book of Job is really interesting. And Job, keep going, before Psalms. Job was a great man. He loved God, all right? He was a man that he loved God. And then he had horrible things that happened to him. He was attacked. He had evil that befell him, his servants, his children, the fields, everything. It was one bad thing after another that kept happening to Job. And he didn't understand. He loved God, but he didn't understand what was going on. He had friends that came and saying, oh, poor Job, all this evil that's befallen you, and poor Job. And Job didn't curse God, but he still didn't get it. You know, he just didn't get it. He loved him, but he didn't understand why these things were happening to him. So in Job chapter 32, verse 1, it says, there were the people that were there trying to comfort him, right? It says they ceased from doing that. Then these three men ceased answering Job because Job was righteous in his own eyes. They stopped talking to him. They couldn't get through to him. Job was, you know, he was going on, I'm good. I love God. I don't know why this evil's happening to me. I'm doing it right. Right. And then again in chapter 34, and in verse 5, it says, for Job has said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my right. Job was righteous and all the things that he did. He said, I love God and all these things happened to me. It shouldn't have happened. I love God. He was righteous in his own eyes. Don't we get like that sometimes, right? We think, I've done everything right. I've abundantly shared. I've prayed. I've read the word for 5 minutes. I've done all these things. I'm not murdering people. I'm not, you know, causing mayhem in the streets. I'm a good person. Why is these things happening to me? Right? I think we've all been there. I know I've been there. I'm a pretty good person. I even write to Mary Marvelous, right? I'm a pretty good person. Why do these bad things happen to me? Well, life is just not fair. There is a devil, right? Life is not fair. Bad things do happen to good people. But we're not righteous in our own eyes. It's God that is with us. Even in those times, God is with us. We can never get to the place where we think we're just so great, right? And that nothing bad should ever happen. That's what happened to Job until he realized what he was dealing with. And in Job chapter 42, chapter 40, change my mind again, which I can. Chapter 40, and we're going to start in verse 1. Now this is the Lord answering Job after Job goes on about being righteous in his own eyes, right? It says, then the Lord Yahweh said to Job, you're going to find fault. Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it. When you think you're so self-righteous, you're really reproving God because these things are happening, right? So then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? Once I have spoken and I will not answer. Even twice, I'm not going to add anything more now. And the Lord answered Job out of the storm. And that gives you a little clue that the Lord is a little bit angry. He's answered him out of a storm, right? And says, now gird up your loins like a man and I will ask you and you will instruct me. Will you really annul my judgments?
Will you condemn me that you may be justified? Or do you have an arm like God and can you thunder with a voice like his? Right? Are you going to talk to God and make you justify your actions to the Lord Almighty? Are you really going to do that? And that's what people do because they don't understand God. Right? And that's what Job was doing. He was justifying his own actions. I'm so righteous. God has no right to do these things to me. Well, go to chapter 42. Job realized who he was talking to. And Job, don't turn there. In Job chapter 33, verse 12, one of the men that came to speak on God's behalf, Elihu, turns around to Job and says, you know what? You're really wrong in all you're thinking because you cannot compare God to mortal man. We have to realize who we're talking to. We are talking to the creator of the heavens and the earth. The very God that is giving us the air to breathe, that this very moment that we're breathing air is the God that can take it away the next moment. God is the maker of everything. He's the creator. And we cannot compare him to our feelings, to our actions, to our things. He's not a man. And he says so he's not a man that he's going to lie to us. He wants us to put on his word. It's life to us. It's profit. And then finally, Job got it. And in Job at the end, chapter 42, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted or stopped. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. He was saying things he didn't understand. He didn't have the right knowledge of God, right? He didn't understand. He goes, but now, hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, God, and you will instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I repent and change. Isn't that amazing? How many of us have heard with the ear, right, and still have no knowledge? But now Job, he knows, he can see it. He realized he had no knowledge of God and he was justifying his own actions. Isn't that phenomenal? See how, and then it says, if you keep reading, everything was multiplied back to him, everything. I mean, it's amazing. We get to see God's heart through his word. 99, and remember this, all right? 99.9% of God speaking to us is through his word. Don't keep searching for these voices and all this other stuff, right? His word, that's how he speaks to us, is through his word. He wants us to know him. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We get strong in the Lord by what? His word, right? Put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, the rulers, against the forces of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness from on high. Therefore, in order to combat the evil that is around us, therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And then having done everything, stand. Take up the whole armor, which is the word of God. Stand, verse 14. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth, the word, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and in addition, taking up the shield of faith, our faith in that we know this is the word of God. God is with us, right? The word which you have been, so that you will be able to extinguish every fiery dart of the devil. And then you put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's how you stand. And then you pray, you ask God for help. But in order to put on the word, we have to read it. And what is that struggle? What is the point? God, the devil wants to separate us from God. That is the evil. When we become so self-righteous, we separate ourselves from God. That's what the devil tempted Jesus with. Do it yourself. It was separation from God. That is what is the struggle, to separate us from our Father who loves us. That is the whole point. You know the song, Come Thou Fount? And part of it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That we are capable of doing that. We are capable of being prone to leave the God we love. And that's the point of the struggle that we face, is to leave the God we love. Anything to separate us from God. And Jesus knew this. In the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 8. And here's the Jesus Christ speaking to those Pharisees after they keep accusing him over and over and over again. And in verse 44, this is his answer to them. It says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, it's a lie, and he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Well, that's the struggle that we have. Are we going to believe the father of lies when the devil tries to separate us from God? Oh, you're in this by yourself, babe. You're by yourself. You know, I'm gone. I'm not good enough. No one loves me. God has left me. That's the separation, that the father of lies, what he does to us is separate us, to think that God has abandoned us. And if we don't put on the truth of the word, we start believing these lies. We're in it all by ourselves. So either we believe the lie and we don't. The way to refute the lie is to put on the truth of the word. So that when we are faced with these arrows, right? We are faced with these darts. Will be the answer like Jesus had. It is written, my God is with me. There is nothing that he cannot help me with. He will give me the strength to get through anything I have to get through. God is always with us. Even in our worst times of life, the hardest times of life, God is with us. He's told us that over and over again, that he loves us. Go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And in verse 7. The law of the Lord, the word of the Yahweh, is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Isn't that phenomenal? The word of God is true. The testimonies of the Lord is sure. Talking every verse about the word of God. It is perfect. It restores our soul. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 And in verse 24, I love Psalm 119 because every verse in Psalm 119 has something. It talks about the word, God's word. And in verse 24, Psalm 19, 24 says, your testimonies are my delight and they are my counselors. When we need counsel, we need help, we want to refute that lie. This word, it's our counselor. It helps us. It keeps us on the right track, helps us when we need help. In verse 105, Psalm 19, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Isn't that, it will guide us. It gives us the light when our feet are in darkness. And it lights our path the way we should go. In verse 151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. God is a near God to us. He's not far off. And his commandments, they're true. It is a sure word. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, all the way at the back of your Bible. Second Peter chapter 1. First Peter, Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. And in verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and excellence. We have everything through his word, right? And the knowledge of him that pertains to life and godliness, everything that we need to know, all about life and all about the things of God, all of it is in through his word, right? It gives us everything that we need to know. For by these, verse 4, for by these he has granted to us precious promises, magnificent promises, so precious so that by them you may become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Isn't that phenomenal? We have everything. We have precious promises in his word that we can escape the corruption, that we're going to be with God forever. His way of salvation, that he's near to us. His word of God is true. We have to learn to not just be hearers, right? We have to see it. We have to want it. It has to become the delight of our hearts. Everything in his word is true. Everything. And this whole word of God, this is his message of love from a father to his children to show the deliverance that he's provided. So that's what I wanted to share.